Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted. From Packers.com, I'm Mike Spofford. He is the one and only Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And, Wes, we're another day closer to Packers-Browns Sunday noon Central Time kickoff in Cleveland. And as the Packers are in the midst of their practices and preparations this week, the defensive side of the ball dealing with a few more injuries than maybe we anticipated, the biggest news being that on Wednesday, rookie cornerback Kevin King was put on injured reserve with that shoulder injury. So his rookie season, what looked like a very promising rookie season, unfortunately, has come to an end. But then also veteran cornerback Devon House missing practice with a shoulder injury that he sustained on that the sideline pass breakup there with Mike Evans in the Tampa Bay game last Sunday. So suddenly at the cornerback position, a pretty bright spotlight shining on Demarius Randall in this game as the Packers head in to face Josh Gordon, the Browns receiver, in his second game back from the multi-year suspensions.
Yeah, first off, I said this in Insider Inbox too. I give a lot of credit to Kevin King for what he fought through over the last month of the season, a month of his season, just trying to stay out there, trying to stay accountable, and just fighting through that. But one of the big things you and I both talked about when he came out of Washington was just his physicality at the position. That shoulder injury zapped him of that. He couldn't press man off the line of scrimmage. That isn't his style to be playing back. He needs to be physical. 6'3", 200 pounds, that screams physical cornerback. So right now, does give him the opportunity to reset and look towards that year two. Demarius Randall very quietly has become probably the most consistent cornerback for the Packers this season.
Yep.
Not only with his on-the-field performance now, but also just he's the only cornerback left that's played in every single game for the Packers this year, which when you look at last year and him fighting through the groin injury and how that affected him, he has the core muscle surgery in the middle of the season, comes back, still doesn't look quite right. This year, he's been healthy relatively. There's been a few issues here and there where he's had to sub out and then miss some practice time, but generally speaking, has been on the field. Four interceptions, I believe that's tied for sixth in the NFL. Ball-hawking, playmaking-type cornerback. The Packers used him last week to match against DeSean Jackson, which included him working on the outside boundary, depending on what cornerbacks they have available for this game. Very well might have to stick with that plan once again.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way. And it's been interesting watching Randall's development here in the third year of his career because, as we've talked about, and you had written about it a few weeks ago on our website, as he was playing that slot cornerback or star position in Dom Capers' defense on a regular basis, he really seemed to be settling into that role. He was focusing on that one position. They weren't really moving him around so much necessarily. But that position involved a lot of different responsibilities. I mean, there's obviously covering slot receivers. There's also run support. There's blitzing, you know, coming off the slot. They used him a lot in that capacity. And then we saw him three consecutive games get an interception. Now, with the injury to Kevin King, we've seen him having to take more snaps on the boundary. He's not necessarily being able to settle in on just the one spot. But, hey, you can't argue with the fact that DeSean Jackson only had two catches for 24 yards last week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Randall projecting a certain level of confidence, saying, hey, you know, I'm ready to line up wherever this defense right needs me. And really, the Packers are going to need him to come up big on Sunday, frankly.
Yeah, and they're going to need him during this whole stretch run. You know, with 1 month left in the season, every single game is a must-win situation for them. He has to be one of those big key contributors on this defense. Now, the question that Dom Capers and Joe Witt and these defensive coaches are going to have to decide here is exactly where they want to be playing him, because while he does give you a sturdy, reliable veteran presence on the outside, he's also their best slot cornerback right now, and you saw the domino effect of him moving over. Morgan Burnett's playing that star position. You have Jermaine Whitehead is playing, a guy that was on the practice squad a month ago. So there's a lot of shuffling there to create that stability outside. The one thing that is kind of interesting with the way that this has worked out, with Kevin King being injured and out for the season, Devon House injuring his shoulder, the Packers' depth at the cornerback position is largely at that boundary cornerback spot. Josh Hawkins and Demetri Goodson are both boundary cornerbacks. So a lot of decisions for them to make, but as you referenced, Mike, Demarius Randall is ready to play wherever this defense needs him to be and does feel confident, you know, making plays outside or in the slot.
Yeah, and we'll have to see as this game comes up and then the games down the stretch here, whether Dmitri Goodson is able to get on the field. He's now on the active roster coming off of PUP. He took Kevin King's roster spot, but he also missed practice on Wednesday with a hamstring injury. So whether he will really be available, and he hasn't played in a game in over a year, yeah, coming off of that catastrophic knee injury in Washington last November. But you mentioned Josh Hawkins. Now, this is a young guy who definitely is going to see his snap count go up, especially if Devon House is unable to play. We don't really know House's status at this point for Sunday. But then you've also got these other young guys, Lindsey Pipkin, Donatello Brown at cornerback. You mentioned Jermaine Whitehead, the safety. He was in the dime package against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've also got Marwin Evans, another young safety, who's been playing behind Burnett, Josh Jones, Clinton Dix, and those guys. So the Packers have the depth in terms of the numbers at the defensive back position to be able to weather this, but it is a matter of looking at a lot of these young guys and counting on them to play a lot more snaps than maybe they're accustomed to.
Well, and the frustrating thing is, too, Mike, is that they just get Morgan Burnett back, and it looks like those top five defensive backs were starting to solidify a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
With Burnett, yep, with Clinton Dix, and then you have King and House outside and Randall inside. Josh Jones, as you mentioned, is another guy, too, that can play the slot, has played that hybrid linebacker position. So they definitely have the versatility and depth to absorb the loss of King. It's just going to come down again, as I mentioned, for Capers and his coaches to sit down and decide, okay, which combination of these players is going to give us the best chance to defend the likes of Josh Gordon and Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen in these weeks to come.
Yeah, and we still have to wait and see just what the Packers' front seven defensively is going to look like, because Nick Perry now has missed practice on Wednesday. Quentin Dial on the defensive line also missing practice. So some things to sort out, and we'll just have to see where it lies come the weekend. But with that, we'll toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, conversation here to be had on the offensive side of the ball for the Packers. And I will confess, I hesitate to even have this conversation because we've had it before and then it didn't really come to fruition. And what I'm talking about is the Packers trying to develop some continuity on the offensive line. If all goes well this week, for the first time this season, the Packers will line up with the same starting five on the offensive line for three consecutive games in Cleveland on Sunday. That has not happened this year, which is really kind of a remarkable thing when you think about it. Mike McCarthy talked about it on Wednesday in his press conference and even knocked on the wooden podium in front of him as he brought the topic up, because this is the position where the Packers have been the most snake-bitten in terms of injuries. But we've seen Jason Spriggs start to settle in now at right tackle with a couple starts under his belt. We know the prospects of the other four, all veteran guys now who have plenty of NFL experience under the belt and have been playing together quite a bit. So if this is the Packers' offensive line moving forward for this stretch run, you hope that it can stay together and everybody can stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's interesting, comparatively speaking to what we were just discussing with the defense. Offensively, and as Mike McCarthy did, knocking on the wooden podium, the pieces are kind of falling into place there, depending on exactly how this rehab process goes with Aaron Rodgers and his trial return to practice. They are getting healthy. When you look at Aaron Jones being back, the receiving core has been healthy for most of the season, no problems with the tight ends. The one area has been that offensive line. And the one thing I do really respect about what the Packers did in terms of how they looked at this landscape was positioning Jason Spriggs at right tackle. Because as a former second-round pick, the only way he's going to get better at that spot is if you give him the work. He played left tackle extensively throughout his career at Indiana, 47 out of 48 games he started there.
Yeah, four-year starter all through the Big Ten.
So for him now to get this chance, working next to Jahri Evans, the resource that he is, it gives them a sense of normalcy. And certainly you'd love to have Brian Bulaga available, but that just isn't going to be in the cards this season. So you're allowing those guys to build together. And then if something happens again, you still have Justin McCray there to position in really at any of the five spots. So a lot of versatility, but almost in a way it's been comical just seeing how this has played out this year. You have David Bakhtiari end up injuring his hamstring on that freak kind of play. Lane Taylor misses a game because of an ankle injury. He started at left tackle. so many different dominoes have fallen, but it just seems like things are starting to finally come into place on that front.
Yeah, and certainly plenty of credit for the Packers' running game goes to the running backs, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, as we've talked about. But it's also no accident that the running game is finding a rhythm and finding some consistency when this offensive line is working together on a daily basis in practice and then also taking the field on Sunday. And as I said, this one in Cleveland will be the third straight game with these five, barring any kind of a happenstance during practice this week. So, and now with the Packers getting Aaron Jones back along with Jamal Williams, we've talked about the possibilities of the 1-2 punch there. Everything setting up offensively to have some sort of stability, I guess you might say, if that's the right word, for when Aaron Rodgers comes back at quarterback. But obviously that still starts with needing to beat the Cleveland Browns so that Aaron Rodgers has a playoff picture to come back to.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, Mike, because it's very rarely are you going to talk about, oh, an 0-12 team is going to be a stiff test, but the Cleveland Browns are a good run-defending team. We discussed it earlier this week. So seeing how the Packers are able to move the ball on that side of things, I think is actually going to set them up really well for what they're going to see against Carolina, what they're going to see against Minnesota, who are two of the top defenses in the league. And that's one of the areas I thought this offensive line really took steps this season. David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, and Corey Lindsey were always kind of seen as pass-protecting type offensive linemen. But they've shown, I thought, a lot of strength and a lot of growth at that position this year, specifically looking at that left side with Bakhtiari and Taylor. The production that they've gotten, and a lot of credit does go to those running backs for being able to seize their opportunities, but they're opening holes there. They're getting the ability not only for those running backs, but even a guy like Brett Hundley to get to the second level and to create plays with their feet. And especially when Aaron Rodgers does come back, if that works out in the cards, to have that running game, that is going to be ultimately what can carry you through November and December, because that's what you have to be able to do this time of year, especially with some of these conditions they're going to be playing with in these next 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I give the offensive linemen for the Packers a lot of credit across the board, because you know there are times Aaron Rodgers has to throw the ball 45 times. You know, that's not easy duty to pass protect that many snaps against these rushers, against these pass rushers in the NFL. These guys do it without complaint. But you know when that running game gets going, like we've seen over the last couple of weeks, you know they love to run block. Yeah. You know that that's what they want to do. That's where they feel like they can, you know, impose their will, so to speak, on their opponent, as opposed to, you know, being the one in retreat mode and just trying to fend somebody off. So I think they're, even though they're not necessarily used to maybe the amount of running plays the Packers have had in recent weeks compared to when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, I think they're kind of liking what they're being asked to do on offense, and it's going to make them ready for whatever is called upon when Rodgers comes back.
And you could tell that swagger that they had too in that game against Tampa Bay. I know the passing game didn't get the performance that they wanted out of facing Tampa Bay, but they really were able to establish themselves with the run game early. Yep. With Jamal Williams. When you start racking up those 7, 8, 9 yard carries and really demoralizing a defense, it's that mental warfare that I think kind of gets into this game and being able to really not only physically dominate, but also mentally start to gain that edge and momentum.
Yeah, with the Packers needing to run the ball with Brett Hundley at quarterback, and with the Cleveland Browns with that run defense, this is going to be a trenches game on Sunday.
Yeah,
there's
it'll be
no
very
question about
to watch.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, the overriding storyline, if you're, you know, outside of Green Bay, I guess you might say, because the Packers are focused on, you get the win, you stay in the playoff hunt, you get Aaron Rodgers back. That's what everybody's focused on. But outside, this is about the Cleveland Browns being 0-12. They're looking at a Packers team that has had its ups and downs with a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. Cleveland's looking at this game as a tremendous opportunity to avoid 0-16 in a very, very frustrating season for them. What is your sense at this point of how the Packers are processing, handling, thinking about this whole idea of going up against an 0-12 team and what type of swing they might take at them taking somebody's best shot, so to speak. What's your sense of how the Packers are thinking and processing this?
Well, the biggest thing that I took away from the locker room availability on Wednesday is the overriding theme and idea of there are good players on this team. There are players that if you put Josh Gordon on a team, they're playoff contenders. If you take those linebackers, Schobert and Kirksey, they could be starters on a playoff team, a championship caliber team. They just haven't had enough playmakers come together. But when you have those dynamic forces on both sides of the ball, that's what has allowed the Cleveland Browns to play some of these teams tough. It wasn't lost on Brett Hundley, the fact that they've had four games this year where they've lost by 3 points.
Right.
It wasn't lost on, you know, the likes of Demaryius Randall talking about how Josh Gordon, you see him after 3 years off going out there and performing the way he did. That wasn't a surprise. He even said it, you know, he's a Florida guy. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, that's what you're going to get. Obviously, Randall being a Florida native himself. So this is, I think the overarching idea in the locker room is that you can't take this for granted. You can't look at that record and believe, you know what, we're just going to plow through these guys. And J.C. Treader, the former Packers offensive lineman who's now the starting center for the Browns, you know, he was even asked a little bit during his conference call with Green Bay Media, if you can just cut down on the offensive turnovers, do you feel like this is a team that can really compete? And he said, yeah, because, I mean, you look at it, Kaiser has 20 turnovers this year, as we talked about.
Wow.
And in some of these things in which they've, you know, kind of, you know, got themselves a little bit and taken themselves out of contests, if you can clean that up, and that's a big if with being the youngest team in the NFL, but you clean up some of those things, that's why it gives them a chance, I think, very really, both this weekend and beyond, to avoid that 0-16 record.
Yeah, as far as the history books are concerned, the last time the Packers were really in a situation like this, and it really wasn't the same situation, but you go back to 2008, the Detroit Lions were 0-15 coming to Lambeau Field for game number 16. The Packers were 5-10. Their season was over. No hope of going to the postseason. But you know, you don't want to be that team that loses to the team that hasn't won a game yet. And
right.
And you know, that, you know, sort of permeated throughout the locker room, and the Packers did prevail. The Lions were 0-16. The Packers finished 6-10. But that's not even something this team can really draw upon. There are only three guys, if I recall, who are on that team, and that's Aaron Rodgers, Mason Crosby, and Jordy Nelson, who was a rookie receiver that year in 2008. So this is you know, a little bit unfamiliar territory in terms of handling some of the psychological part of it. What I've been hearing from the players is that they're not even thinking about the fact that the Browns have an 0-12 record. This is the type of time when professional football players, they trust the film. They do their film study. They see what's on there. The Browns have put plenty of film out there that shows they're capable of winning games. Just because they haven't doesn't mean that they can't.
Yeah.
And the Packers know that, and they know that, hey, if this game is close in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, the Browns are going to absolutely give it everything they have, because nobody on that team in Cleveland, of course, wants to go 0-16.
Yeah, every Sunday is going to be their Super Bowl. And Treader said, you know, when he signed on with the Browns, he understood what he was going to be up against. He understood what they were trying to build in terms of going as young as they have. You know, they've gotten rid of, you know, Joe Hayden, and they moved away from some of their veterans. Obviously now Jamie Collins being wrapped up with, I believe, some injuries. So, I mean, they lose him as well, and one of their best players.
Right.
So they've had a lot of forces working against them. But they're still an NFL football team, as a lot of those guys in the Packers locker room said. They still can compete, and we know how this league works. I mean, there's a lot of things that happened. Last year, I think it was the Bengals that ended up giving up the win to the Browns.
I think it was. Yeah, because they only won one game a year ago.
They were fighting the same thing last year, trying to win into December. And, you know, the Packers just have to take care of business. They have to play productive football. They have to take care of the football. A lot of the same lessons from the last week, it just gets amplified against a team that has yet to find a victory this year.
Yeah, no question about it. With that, we'll go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go today, a key comment from Mike McCarthy's Wednesday press conference before the Packers got into their preparation, their on-field preparation for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, and he just flat out said, hey, offensively, we need to get the ball to our perimeter players. The Tampa Bay game was the second game out of this stretch now without Aaron Rodgers, where guys like Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, Randall Cobb simply have not touched the ball enough. The Packers need to get them the ball. That's partly, you know, coaching, game plan, calling plays, obviously. It's also on the quarterback to execute things to get them the ball. There's a lot of things involved, but the Packers know they can't count on winning games when Randall Cobb doesn't have a targeted pass, Jordy Nelson is getting 3 or 4 yards a catch, and Davante Adams isn't having any explosive plays. That's not a formula for victory.
No, and Brett Hundley knows that 100%. Yeah. His biggest thing, and he was asked about those comments as well during his media session on Wednesday, is sustaining drives is what it comes down to. He said, you know, we had too many three and outs, specifically in the beginning of that second half. I think it was three in a row,
yeah.
That they went in and out. When you only get 55 offensive plays, you're just not going to be able to get the ball to your weapons, whether it's the backfield, whether it's your receiver. Somebody isn't getting touches in that, because as much as you have 55 plays and want somebody to touch the ball in every single one of them, it just does. The game doesn't work like that. Yeah. So the big takeaway that Hundley had is if you're able to sustain more drives. Now, for instance, they've been able to get off to a great start this year. And each of these six starts that Hundley's had, they've produced yards. Not always points, but they've always been able to sustain drives. You need to find ways to keep that going, to get that first down on those series, to find a way with stop routes or slants, whatever it might be, to get guys involved. When you do that, those touches are going to take care of themselves.
Yeah, it's about developing a rhythm on offense. You get that. We've talked about it so many times. You get that first down.
Right.
You get the defense on its heels a little bit. They're reacting to you. They're not dictating the tempo of the game, so to speak. And then the play caller can start to say, okay, who do I want to get involved and how do we want to work this and keep them off balance and keep them on their heels. And that's how it gets rolling.
Run, pass, read option, all those things come off of that for sure.
Yeah, and they'll all be in play on Sunday,
absolutely.
Definitely. With that, we will call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.